We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
At 870-870, to talk about New Orleans and the history of the development of the city, and you got to look at that in terms of flooding, right, Ame? Because it's not a snapshot. Aliens didn't drop us down here yesterday. We had to get here via a long history of development, et cetera, and that's what you're going to help us with, right?
Sure. I'll do my best to explain it to you because it actually involves a lot of geology and geography of where we're positioned, and you have to even think about the movies you watched with your kid, all the Ice Age movies, because that plays a role in understanding why we're in this pickle with flooding. And we're not going to go all the way back 25,000 years, but that's about when the glacial advance.
You got an hour. If you can go back 25,000 years.
Well, we'll fast forward to about 10,000 years ago when the ice age and the glaciers started to retreat within North America. And the thing I'll say right here at the very beginning is that, this is kind of switching gears for a second, but those of you who are already turning me off because I'm going to talk about climate change is a natural fluctuation that we have seen over millennia based on the evidence that we have, the science that we have, the fossil record and things like that. So the fact that our climate is changing now is normal. It's just the issue is, of course, that we think that what we're doing is making it go faster. It heat up faster and make all these other changes that, like these more intense storms and more intense rain events and things like that. But back to the issue of how we were created is as the glaciers retreated, so you have levels of water that are now in places. And so as this ice is melting, the water has to go somewhere. And so if you read a lot of detail about the Mississippi River Basin, this is the time that it really started to take its shape. And so then if we fast forward to about 6,000 years ago, that's really when the Mississippi River, and I say basin, I'm talking about most of the Mississippi River from Itasca, Minnesota, down to, the mouth where we reside. And so what's interesting about it is water, and we all learned this early on, but you have to think of it in context. Water is always going to take the path of least resistance. So as the water in forming the Mississippi is flowing, that's exactly what it does, is it goes where it can go the easiest. And as it goes, as it flows, it's depositing sediment. It's depositing all the soils that we now have that make up our land. And so that naturally happens all the time. I mean, that's just, it doesn't matter if you're in North America or in, where the Nile is positioned. It doesn't matter. That's how a delta is formed. So today, the Mississippi River Delta and the whole basin drains 40% of our continental United States. That's pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, let me ask you this. And y'all, let me tell you right now, there are no dumb questions here. So if you have any at all about how the area was formed and why we are so prone to flooding, text them in 870-870 or call in if you're more comfortable with 260-1870, because I'm going to get us started right now with what may be a dumb question. If we were to look at North America as a piece of paper lying flat, and we were to angle that piece of paper, stick, whatever you want to call it, would it run downhill from Minnesota all the way to Louisiana? And about it, what angle would that be? Would it be 45 degrees, 20, et cetera?
Well, it it only has to be a half of a degree, or not even a half of a degree, for it to run. And so if you think about the topography throughout the United States, you're going to have the river systems running in all kinds of directions. And so the reason why the Mississippi River flows the way that it does is based on the cuts that were made through the landscape as the glaciers were retreating. And so if we focus on New Orleans, because that's, you know, most of your listeners are from this area and wondering how this connects to flooding. So let me try to make that connection here. First thing we need to understand is that what deltas are, when I say Mississippi River Delta, we're talking about wetlands. And wetlands, as we know, are formed as rivers empty their water, they empty their sediment, they empty their soils into another body of water. So as that happens and as it continues to flow, you get that velocity. You know, when we talk about all the flooding that was happening when the Bonnie Carey spillway was up, all the meteorologists, all the news reporters were talking about the velocity with which the Corps of Engineers was making these decisions. And it has to do with, you know, how much of the water is flowing at a time. So if we keep that in mind and try to make sense of things we've been hearing the last, you know, since really Katrina that brought our attention to these issues, we have to think about that. So this naturally happens. So the river's constantly flowing. And what we don't think about is that for the past 300 years in New Orleans, we have impeded the natural flow of the Mississippi River. So we've impeded this with building these levees.
Now, let me stop you there, Professor, okay, if we can, because I think that's a good breaking point. So
okay, great.
The river's coming down. It's building up the delta. Then all of a sudden, man gets involved in what year was it when we built levees?
Well, New Orleans has been here 300 years. So we started building levees, obviously not to the extent that we have them today, but we started building them about 300 years ago.
All right, we'll pick it up here. We come back, 9:17, great. Tommy Tucker talking about really the development of New Orleans and why it is that we are so prone to flooding, which, you know, might seem like an abstract concept until it rains next week and we find ourselves up to our ankles again. 260-187, if you have any questions or comments, back in a flash, WWL. 9:22, Tommy Tucker, WWL. When the rain came on August the 5th, 2017, we saw the results of it, but how did we get there? How did we get to that point? How are we at the point now, even with Katrina and the failure of the levees? How did it get to the point where New Orleans was so easily flooded? Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, have you gotten water damage from any of the recent street flooding? 50% of those answering are saying yes. And that, to me, is a lot. I'm A. Thomas, our guest, biology professor, director of the Environment Program at Loyola University. Very nice lady, trying to explain to us how it is that we came to be in the position that we are here. So, before we went to the break, New Orleans is settled, and they say, you know what, this river keeps flooding, the Mississippi River, which is how New Orleans was developed, right? I mean, what was there before?
Yeah, let me give you a visual that I try to use with my students to help them understand. If you, as kids, of course, we played outside with the hose all the time. If you put a hose in your yard and you turn it on high, oftentimes that hose is going to go back and forth, right? It's going to, that pressure from the water is going to make that hose go back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the Mississippi River did or has done forever in the United States. But the last about 6,000 or so years, it did that in southeast Louisiana. And that's how all of our different land masses that are south of the North Shore, really. So, I mean, you think Mandeville, that Covington, Ponchatoula, that area. All that is continental shelf. Below that is land that has been created just over the past 6,000 years or less. And so that's why places like St. Bernard, Plaquemine Parish, Lafourche Parish, that's why they are, putting quotes, sinking, is because the way that those areas built up their land is by the river overflowing its banks, and every time there's a heavy rain, or at least every spring with the heavy the snow melt up north. And so that's how our sediment and our land has been created, because we are a delta. And a delta is a wetland, and that's it's all built by sediment. I tell my students that. I'm like, the land that you're in this building on Loyola's campus right now, wasn't here 6,000 years ago, probably wasn't even here 4,000 years ago. So if you wonder why you're driving down the street one day that you've driven down every day and all of a sudden there's a pothole, it's because that concrete, that asphalt, is built on top of a wetland, and wetlands change their shape constantly.
Let me ask a dumb question. When you say continental shelf, North Shore, does that mean bedrock, that there is bedrock there if you dig deep enough and there is not here?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually a little further north than that, and I don't want to get in the weeds with that because that's not my area of expertise. But yes, that's why we tend to sink more than they do, because they have their land was there longer than ours, and it's been able to compact and compact and compact and be more firm than we are on the other side of the lake.
All right, so the area is sinking, and in the old days, and by that I mean 6,000 years ago, or before the river was levied, however you want to say it, contained, it would go and flood and replenish itself every spring. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
But it's not doing that because we levied it up.
That's correct. So you can look at maps that show the deltaic lobe, is what they're called, formation of southeast Louisiana, and you can see where the land has been and where it is, and then of course today where it isn't anymore, and it's because of these levees. So let's bring the human into it, okay? So if we think, let's just go back 300 years ago, because even that time frame, which is, you know, three times or more of what we're going to live, it's still a hard time frame to understand, right? So Bienville and Iberville, the brothers that essentially established our city, they did so where they did in the French Quarter because it was the highest ground. So if you think about the way in which the river flows past our city right there, that's where most of the sediment would be deposited every time that the river overflowed its banks in the past. Well, now we've levied it up, so it doesn't do that anymore. But so if we think about why we are built the way we look, there's no coincidence that housing prices are higher along the river. It's because that's the highest ground. It was the first established. It's the, you know, it's the historic areas. It's the places that people want to live in the city because of, and it all goes back, and even if you don't think about it, it all goes back to how the land was formed. So you've heard, I'm sure, the sliver by the river.
Right.
That's just the sliver of land that's close to the river where it's the highest ground. So those homes were the first to be built because it was actually land. Further out, you get into Broadmoor, which is my neighborhood, and you get further to Lakeview. That was all wetland with standing water. And over time, as we settled and we grew in the city, we pumped out that water, brought in more soil to build up the land, and we built homes there.
So let me talk to you about building a home, if I may. And y'all, please text your questions, 870-870. I'll get them in a minute. May, you should be a teacher because you're doing very well at explaining this.
Well, thank you.
biology professor, director of the environment program at Loyola. So is this what they mean by the alluvial plain or something? I got a home that I built, in the 90s, and it's not that far away from the river in Belchase. And they told me I didn't need pilings because it was so close to the river. Would that make sense to you, or should I call Avery Brothers?
Right. Well, anywhere around. I'm not going to say yes. You probably should. We all should, right? No. But the alluvial plain is this area. You've got a long period of time where you've got that the deposit of the sediment, and so just like it just compacts over time, and so the more it's had time to compact, then the stronger or more stable, I should say, it's going to be. There's nothing really stable. There's nothing consistent about our land because it's constantly changing. The reason it's constantly changing is because we're not allowing it to fill up with sediment as it once did naturally. So that's why we have all these projects going on around the state to help us reinforce and rebuild some of this land. And a lot of it is diverting sediments from the Mississippi and putting them back into our wetland system south of New Orleans, west of New Orleans, in order to build up that land again. Because when there isn't sediment coming there every spring or every year, it continues to sink.
But let me tell you how stupid I am, and you can clear this up when we come back. What you just said then would seem to me the only way that New Orleans is going to ever get built up or at least get back to even is if we took the levees down and then let the city flood year after year after year after year after year, which is not practical. So if that's the case, then it seems as though, and you can pick it up here when we come back if you don't mind, that the city continues to sink. The levees are making it worse, but in terms of diversions, where does that go with an idea toward doing what, and what is it helping, and what is it hurting? And quickly, we only have like 20 seconds here before the news. Metairie, way back whenever they made Metairie or developed it, that was what, just swampland?
Just swampland, yep.
And they filled it in with what?
Just soil from around, from the area, like the spillway area, and from just different places outside of New Orleans in order to build up that land. So they pumped out the water mostly, and when you pump out the water, then the soil starts to harden, and then you just add soil on top of that. It compacts, and but that's why you have so much sinkage, subsidence in the Metairie area.
Fascinating. We'll be back. I'm A. Thomas is our guest, talking about the topographical history, I guess, of New Orleans. Right now, we pause for an update from CBS News on WWL.
Thank you, Patty. I'm Tom Perumian, WWL First News. Now, back to Tommy Tucker on WWL, AM, FM, and WWL.com.
Thank you, Tom. 9:36, 24 before 10. I'm A. Thomas, our guest. Nice enough to spend an hour with us. Biology professor and the director of the environment program at Loyola University. And somebody texted in, Ame, and said, this is the radio equivalent of the Science Channel, and it is, and we appreciate your time. We really do, and it's not easy without pictures, but you're managing to get us to understand it. So before we went to the break, we decide as man or whomever, Iberville, Bienville, they say, you know what, we need more area here. So, or they get tired of flooding, and that's how they decide to put levees up. And in science, I guess, every, what is it, reaction has an equal reaction or something along those lines. So some of those can be unintended consequences, right? So at what point is the decision to levee up the river, control the flow of the river, divert it, made? And as a result, what happens then?
Well, you know, I mean, this—it's a gradual, it's a progression, and so if you think back to, and it's just fun that it's been 300 years, so it's good to keep going back to that. So 300 years ago, think about the population. It was a small population, so they did what they needed to do in order to exist, just like we all would. And so they would move around a little bit, but then once they started building the French Quarter and the historic parts of our city now, they just figured out where they need to reinforce. And so, you know, it's not like they were taking classes and learning about rivers and learning about that. They learned it by doing and by experiencing. So every spring, as the river overflowed, they would work around it. And so it continued to get a little more, and they were always looking for higher ground. It's just like today, if you think about, let's see, it's River Ridge to Metairie around the cemetery right there at the where Metairie and New Orleans and across the interstate. You've got that area is called the Metairie Ridge, and it goes all the way into Gentilly. The Gentilly Ridge goes all the way to New Orleans East. All of that higher ground right there, it's built by what I was talking about earlier with the movement, the transformation of the river. So the earliest settlers would do the same thing. You know, they'd move around, they'd build up and try to figure out how to make everything work for their settlement. And so we continued to do this, and as the city grew, you move out. You know, the reason 7th Ward, Treme is called Baca Town is because it was the back of town. And it was the area that, you know, it had all of our dump sites, and it had it was a wetland because it hadn't been settled yet, and then eventually that was settled, and that's why there's a lot of our cemeteries there. I mean, all this history, it's fascinating. I really wish that, you know, I could go back to high school and see if we were actually learning this stuff in a history class, because it's amazing if you think about the science behind how our city was created and why our neighborhoods are positioned where they are and how they're positioned where they are and why some of them sink at a higher rate than others. It all goes back to how our land was formed. And that's just fascinating.
It is. Let me take a break. When we come back, we'll pick it up here with Ame Thomas, biology professor, director of the environment program at Loyola University. Ame, are you local?
I am. I grew up in New Orleans.
Where'd you go to school?
Dominican.
I knew that Dominican you were going to answer high school. 9:40, 20 before 10. More we come. 9:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm A. Thomas, biology professor, director of the environment program at Loyola University, giving us a history lesson, if you will, on the, would it be accurate to say topography, the geographic development of New Orleans?
Yep, absolutely.
And I got to tell you, doctor or professor, the texts are coming in. You're a big hit, man, I'm telling you. You have your own show. So let's go back to... diverting the river. Did New Orleans really have a choice? I mean, you can't let it flood every spring, right? So when the city's being developed, they decide to divert the river along its natural course. And as a result, what happens and how do we fix it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to flood our city and allow that to happen. So there are lots of things going on, and the CPRA, which is the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, which is the body, the governing body that is helping to do things to help us continue to live the life that we live in the place that we want to live. And so they've got, you can go to their website and see all of their projects that they've already completed, what they have ongoing, and then their future projects. And I look at it, you know, fairly regularly to just try to keep up and understand, because I'm trying to educate our students in the environment program at Loyola to understand why water is an issue in our city. You know, and I start off with them talking about water's an issue globally. It doesn't matter. There's too much of it. There's not enough of it. It's polluted. But if we then hone in to thinking locally, it's an issue because there's too much of it, or it's eroding our land. And so there are lots of different things. The one I mentioned earlier, project, is the diversion projects. And so that's just one of many projects that are going on around our state. But that is where they are taking sediment from the Mississippi River that's naturally flowing down, which, and let me, I'll come back to something in a minute, that there's an economic aspect of this as well. But they're taking that sediment and diverting it into, through these big culverts, into places in our wetlands to help rebuild the land that was once there. And wetlands, the wetlands that are dominated by grasses are called a marsh. And so the marshes are typically the first type of land that comes in contact with the Gulf, in our case, with any water. And then as you move inland, you get more sediment and more higher ground that trees are able to start to grow. And so you go from the Gulf of Mexico to the marsh, and then you get into a swamp. A swamp is a wetland as well, but it's just dominated by trees. So there are grasses in there. There are trees in there. And then as you get even more inland, you get a little higher ground. You get more sediment. You get into an area that's known as a bottomland hardwood forest. And so you get areas that, this is like around Jean Lafitte, they seasonally flood, and that's kind of what our area would have been like before we built these levees. An area that's dry part of the year, and areas within that are wet part of the years. And so some of these plants, they thrive on, they wouldn't be there if they didn't thrive on this type of habitat, right? So that's another part of the biology that's important. So they thrive on that seasonal flooding. So what these, back to the diversions, if I can,
sure.
Those diversions are helping to create the land so that those different progressions of plant material in our wetlands can happen. And then you can get, of course, established areas where humans can occupy the space. The other thing I'll say, just to talk about the economics of all of this, the river is, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a huge, I mean, what are we, the second largest port in the country, maybe the third?
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the top ports in our country. And so all that sediment, if it doesn't flow over the banks like it would naturally, it gets caught up in certain areas, and then the big ships can't come in. So that's another thing that our Corps of Engineers has to deal with and has to handle, is figuring out how to continue to keep our port open, because we are important to the United States and for imports and exports. So so all of that kind of ties in, and it all goes back to the biology, the geology of the area, which is pretty cool, I think.
It is, and I appreciate your time. I really do. We could talk about this for 4 hours, and hopefully you'll come back.
I'd love to.
Thank you. I'm A. Thomas, biology professor, director of the Environment Program at Loyola University. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Newell Norman, see what he's got for you today on this Tuesday, September 3rd. Getting back to it after Labor Day weekend on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.